Play ball!
Hello, and welcome to another edition of As I See It, an umpired podcast. I'm your host, Joe Sweeney. I am an NFHS baseball and softball official. I am currently registered in the state of Illinois in the IHSA. I am a newer official. I have actually been registered for about 6 years, but have only been umpiring seriously for about the last year to a year and a half. I started this podcast because I like to share my stories and learn new things and talk about what I've learned, how I've learned it, and probably going to take some lumps along the way. In this episode, I'm going to talk about some things that have happened over the last couple of years. I did not work any games this week, so I don't have anything new to tell you, but in the last couple of years, since I have been registered, I have gotten a call for a couple of emergency games in my local town. And back in those days, my boys were playing baseball for the local high school. And occasionally I would get a call on the way home and need an umpire. So that would be the first one that I'm going to talk about. I'm also going to revisit batter's interference. I've been thinking a lot about the call that I made last week. And I have since seen it a couple of times in games that I have watched. And also has come up on one of the YouTube videos that I watch. Finally, I am going to talk a little bit about how I prepare and things that I do to hopefully improve as an official. The first thing that I'm going to talk about happened about 2 or 3 seasons ago. I was on my way home from work, headed to my son's ball game. And my oldest was a senior, and my middle child was a junior at the time. I got a call on the way home. I was leaving work about 15 minutes before the game would have started, and I work about 30 minutes away, so I was going to get there late anyway. The assistant coach called me and said, "Hey, we had an official just go down. Can you come and umpire for us?" And I said, "Sure, as long as nobody minds." He's like, "Well, we've got a dad out there right now, so come on in." So I got there, went home, got my stuff, and I changed my clothes, and I got to the field. I only had one close play, and it was a banger at first. And as I said, I hadn't umpired in a while, and I was completely unprepared to make a call. Typically, when you have been umpiring a while, you're just up on your game, you're practiced, maybe a little more polished, but at this point, I hadn't really given much thought to it, and there was a banger at first, and I got caught watching the wrong thing. I thought I got the play right at the time, and as it turns out later, I watched it on video because it was on our local network, and I clearly got it wrong. There was a ball in the infield, went to the left side of the infield, and it was pretty close at first. And I got caught watching the torso and not the foot. When you look at plays at first, you watch for the foot and listen for the sound. I got caught watching the torso, which obviously the torso crosses after the foot. I just blew it. The young man that was running down the line, he expressed his displeasure. He told me, knowing who I was, he said, "I was there by half a step, Joe." And later on, he was not wrong. My oldest son was pretty irritated with me as well. And so we went back and we watched it. And I got it wrong, and that is why I got caught watching the wrong thing. Not too long later, I was doing another softball game, and I was in the C position, and the same thing had happened. I got caught watching the wrong thing, watching the runner and not the foot. So when you are on bases, you've got to watch the right thing. Another play that happened to me that I do believe I got correct. It was kind of an interesting situation again. This was the start of my seriousness of getting into umpiring. I was doing bases for a junior high game. It was a competitive game at this level, and there was 2-strike count on the batter. I had 2 strikes on my indicator. The batter swung at the ball, and it hit him. There was somewhat of a check swing on the batter, and the ball came inside and hit him. And when the ball hit him, as I was watching the play, I thought to myself, he swung. Dead ball strike. So if there was going to be an appeal, I knew what I was going to say. Because, as you're supposed to watch for those sort of things. Home plate umpire, younger than I am, had a little bit more experience, called time, dead ball. The first thing he does is come to me, Joe, did he swing? I held my hand up with the hammer and I said, yes, he did. At this point in time, the team and the coach were making sure the batter was okay. He was just fine. I don't remember exactly where it hit him. And the coach came over to me and said, how can you have a swing on a ball that hit him? I told coach, in my judgment, he offered at the pitch, and yes, it hit him. So here's where the bit of unclarity comes from. The home plate umpire put him back in the box. It should have been strike three. I looked at my indicator and I had two strikes, which that would have been a third strike. So at this point I thought, okay, I must have had it wrong on the count. He ended up grounding out. Nothing happened of it. After the game, I was speaking with my partner. We were talking about the play. He thought that the rule was different, and I told him no, that if it was either A, in the strike zone and it hit him, or he swung at it and it hit him, it was a dead ball, a strike is added to the count, and he should have been out. We went and looked up the rule because he wasn't sure. The rule for a dead ball strike is 8-1-1D. A batter becomes a runner when a pitched ball hits his person or clothing, provided he does not strike at the ball. He struck at the ball. That would have been strike three. The last play that I want to talk to you about also happened in a junior high game when I was working the plate. There was a play at the plate that actually ended the game, and I was working at this point on working the wedge, staying on the catcher's inside hip to see the tag on the runner. As the ball comes in, the catcher feels the throw, tags out the runner. I call him out. The game is over. We walk off the field. It wasn't a close game. I later watched a video, and what I missed was the obstruction by the catcher. The throw took the catcher into the path of the runner, and the catcher did not possess the ball, and I missed it. But it was just one of those things that you learn from. I had a very similar play in a game that I did last week. It was the game that I had the batter's interference in, and I see the throw coming in, and the first thing I do is notice the position of the catcher. He is in good position. He is inside the line, giving a path for the runner. The ball takes him into the runner. He makes contact with the runner. And at this point, I see the obstruction. I point at it, and as I'm pointing at it, he does not catch the ball. The ball goes to the backstop. The run scores. Coaches yelling, that's obstruction, which I had. And unfortunately, the catcher, as he's going back behind his plate, he's not arguing with me. He just says, I couldn't help that. I said, yeah, and I told him, unfortunately, that's just the rules of the game. If you don't possess the ball, it becomes obstruction. So he knew I called obstruction on him. The run scored anyway because there was not even a tag. So the obstruction was ignored. So that was a play that I actually learned something from, and I was able to apply it into a game later on. So, you know, these things that I learn, these mistakes that I make, really the main thing is hopefully that I can just learn from them and become a better official. And finally, the last thing that I want to do this week is revisit something we talked about last week, which was batter's interference. I told you that I had a call in a game where the batter leaned over the plate and hindered the catcher's throw. In my judgment, the catcher did not throw the ball. Now, I honestly was a little unsure if he had to throw the ball, so it actually stuck with me for a while. Later on, I found out that he absolutely did not have to throw. So what I wanted to do was revisit this with a little bit more information. So right after this play happens, one of the YouTube videos contributors that I follow, which is called Umpire Classroom, Patrick Farber, I mentioned him last week, did a really good job of explaining this rule. I knew that I got every single bit of it right based off of 7-3-5A, the batter leaning over the plate. He does not have to step out of the box to lean over the plate. But as I said, I was not 100% sure about the throw. So I asked in the comments about an attempted throw or if the ball has to be thrown. There were a couple of guys that responded to me. One was named Ray Ray, and another one was named Dave J. And they did a really good job of explaining this rule. And as the rule says, 7-3-5, a batter shall not interfere with the catcher's fielding or throwing by A, leaning over home plate, B, stepping out of the box, C, making any other movement, including follow-through interference, which hinders actions at home plate, or the catcher's attempt to play on a runner, which that one there backs it up, or failing to make a reasonable effort to vacate a congested area, and that one is a play at home plate. But these two guys that responded said attempted throw, and as it says, C, Article 5C, the catcher's attempt to play on a runner. One of them asks what constitutes an attempt. And so the catcher has to demonstrate an attempt. So if you've got a ball in the glove and no attempt is made, then you don't have interference. So don't create interference. But an attempt is get the ball in the throwing hand and come up to a throwing posture. And in this particular play that I had, this is exactly what the catcher did. He had the ball in his hand. He stepped to throw. He had even had the ball cocked back, but he didn't throw. And also, I believe Patrick went on to say that the NFHS would not jeopardize player safety or put player safety at risk by requiring a throw. And so 7-3-5C says a catcher's attempt to play on a runner. So that applies here. So that's why I just wanted to revisit this rule and just give some clarity and apply the rule to the situation. So finally, the last thing that I want to talk to you a little bit about is some things that I do to improve my umpiring. One of the things that I do to stay in shape is I've become a runner. I didn't start running to stay in shape for umpiring. I started running because I just wanted to be in better shape. Kind of helps me stay in shape for umpiring, getting around the bases, being able to move well, keeping up with young players, young kids that are far more than half of my age, because some of them are pretty darn quick these days. And another thing that I do is I do contact local coaches and tell them if they need an umpire for a scrimmage at the beginning of the season, that I'd be glad to do it for nothing. And over the past couple of years, I have umpired a couple of junior high JV games. This was when I first got registered. I offered to do some JV innings after some varsity games of junior high games, just to learn how to call balls and strikes, just to get behind the plate. So that's another thing you guys can do if you're a new umpire. Do some volunteers, get a hold of local coaches, and just learn how to do it. So there you have it. This is the second episode, and please follow, give me a follow, like, and subscribe. You could send me an email at asiseitpodcast1995@gmail.com. Let me know what you think, what you like, what you don't like, or maybe something that you might want to hear on a future episode. And one more thing that I did want to leave you with before we go is that not only am I an umpire, I also am a Christian, and I want to close each episode with a bit of scripture. And one that stuck out to me first when I began my walk and found the Lord was Philippians 3:14. I press on towards the goal to win the prize, which God has called me heavenward through Christ Jesus. Happy Easter.